Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I haven't read it. I've certainly wanked to it.
It's way famous.
In a way, you're all right. That is somebody's good time.
Rage. It might be mine.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are in a studio with the doors open, so it's a little bit al fresco, and you may have a little bit of ambience. We will stop if an ambulance comes by. But... we just did a recording in a sweatbox and we all want to live through the next podcast. And it's a heat wave. So
I love the fact that we're calling it a studio. It's my flat. So if you hear, you're going to hear a lot of things. You're going to hear some shouting, some friendly chatter, perhaps, and probably quite a lot of motorbikes and cars. Yes.
They'll get a taste of London. I think it's a special ep.
Special app. Lucky you, oh listener. Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode. It is the fantastic actor, writer, podcaster. Give it up for Lisa Greenway!
Lisa. Thank you for having me. On such a wonderful sweaty day as well. Feels amazing.
And you know what helps with sweat? Booze.
So. Yeah. I've got a little Di Serrano today.
Yes.
That's love like it. Almondy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
I'm not a big drinker.
Okay.
So I do tend to go for the sweet. You know, the Malibu.
Yeah.
The stuff that gets you drunk quick.
Yes.
You know, the
yes.
cheap stuff.
Love it.
Yes. Like, I'm not a big drinker, so I drink what gets me drunk quick. That's the British
maybe
version.
Maybe I'm just
of not drinking.
Maybe I'm just cheap. That's probably yeah, probably more about.
Sounds like you're efficient. Yeah. I think that's a lovely quality.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Some delicious sweetness. Lisa, we have one question on this podcast.
Yeah.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Do you know what? I thought about this. I thought about it long and hard because I did grow up in quite a few rough areas.
Okay.
But I have been very lucky.
Ooh.
I think it's because I've walked around with a bit of a screw face. So something that you learn when you grow up in a rough area is that even if you're 5 foot nothing and you wear fake tan and you've got eyelashes on, you master the screw face, which is you screw your face up and you look like you're a very angry person slightly, you know, mad, and then no one will come and approach you.
Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
You don't look naive. You're like, you've seen things.
You look like you've had a hard life.
Do you know what I mean?
So that's the face that I normally put on. Yeah. And touch wood, I was absolutely fine. But I did have something happen to me that I do think someone should have got arrested for, if you want to hear that.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. So I'm an actor, but as you know, with an actor, you have other jobs.
Sure.
Unless you're Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know if he ever had a side job. I doubt it.
Yeah.
He might have.
I think his side job is young women. I don't know if he gets paid for that. But
I had to temp in central London. Right. And it was corporate finance. In other words, it was hell. It was very, very rich people, suits and booted.
Yeah.
As you can see, I probably didn't fit in very well there. But I decided to turn up. I took my packed lunch with me, put it in the fridge, and it got to lunchtime.
No.
Opened my packed lunch, and someone had taken a single bite out of my ham and cheese sandwich. Yeah. What the hell? Like, that's 20 years to life, right?
Yes.
Surely.
I'm horrified.
Yeah. I went pure detective as well. Like, I was looking at the teeth marks in the sandwich. And I was thinking, who is the person? Who's got these big teeth? Who is this person that's eating my sandwich? I didn't ever crack the case, I'm going to be honest.
Oh my gosh.
I felt like it was a personal attack.
Why take one bite? That is
I must have a really bad sandwich. It must have been a bad sandwich.
No, I think that's a bad man.
How weird.
That's just a bad person.
It's 100%
person.
A man.
That's so
cool. Yeah, it's 100%. I mean, we all, you know, when we profiled this, we immediately was a man. Yeah. And it was weird because I always thought men in finance are very honest. So
this has blown that right open, hasn't
it? What am I going to do?
Who can we trust?
The sandwich stealer. So we know he's still on the large. If it was a man, if it was a woman.
I feel like we'll if this were the 80s, we'd be like, he just likes you. It
was very bizarre, though, isn't it?
It is. It's really bizarre.
I know. I
just
really
keep
weird.
Picturing the moment. And was somebody just really brazen? Or were they like, secret, this is my fetish. Yeah. I keep bites of people's sandwiches.
I kept trying to make it better.
This?
I was like, did he have diabetes? did he need a quick rush of sugar? Did he need something? Yeah. Or was he just being a bit of a weirdo?
It's so strange.
It might not have been a man, by the way.
100% a man. I stand by that. I've never met a woman and thought you'd eat a woman's packed lunch in the fridge. But most men, I think that. So.
Also, I would eat the whole sandwich. I would never just leave. Come on, like take.
If you're gonna commit, right?
Well, also the thing is, if you took the whole sandwich, it would just baffle the person. Like, did I forget to put my sandwich in?
Did I make it?
This is somebody sending a message, and that's what's so disturbing about it.
I was only there 3 hours. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what I've done to offend anyone that much. Like, do you know what I mean?
Or like, best case scenario, it's some kind of hazing the new guy. Worst case scenario, it's like a power play of like, you can't complain because you're a temp.
Oh, and I wrote straight to HR.
Did you?
Yes. This was not my. This was not my first temping rodeo.
Oh, nice.
I was temping a few times and straight to HR, someone's eating my sandwich.
Nice.
What did they
like,
say?
Take a photo.
Not a lot.
Like...
They were just like, we're very sorry. No one offered me any like money or anything like that for an extra sandwich.
Yeah.
I got offered some cake on cake day, but everyone was having
that's
I thought that wasn't great.
That's not reparations.
Every time somebody took a bite of cake, you were like, you!
Oh my God, that's how you catch them, though.
Exactly, the teeth mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can just see you on cake day, like, measuring everyone's, like, bite mark.
This is why I had to leave temping. I got too involved in it all. Like, it was just, I don't know if you've ever worked in an office, but it was intense. Very, very intense.
No, yeah. Ugh.
It's so intense, but as the temp, you're like, calm down, everybody. Like, this is bullshit. Like, you just want to tell everybody, this is all bullshit, guys.
It depends what kind of temp you are.
As though what we do is so much more important than law too. Like, guys, this is bullshit.
This is life-saving.
Finances don't matter.
Also, have you ever done that? That, like, are you sure? You weren't there the night before, but if you were there, like, with my own fridge, I've definitely, like, opened it the next morning after a drunk night and gone, like, somebody has taken a bite out of the block of cheddar. Who the fuck did that? And then I kind of...
And then you reach into my
teeth. I go, wait a minute. But I think like the one
she
bite...
wasn't drunk at work and forgot that she bit her own sandwich.
Yeah, it was a very, very weird situation.
Just to be proper detectives, is there any chance that it resembled another packed lunch and that somebody else had a sandwich... Some sandwiches may look alike, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been, but I would have left a note. I mean, would I? I'm sorry I've eaten your sandwich, love the temp. Yeah. I would have been gone the next day, so there would have been no embarrassment there, but maybe.
It just
freaked me out. And I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist and, you know, my mind goes into overdrive. I thought this person was trying to kill me at one point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, your lunch has been messed
first
with.
First your sandwich next to your head.
Exactly.
But that is the thing about crime, is you feel violated, you feel messed with. Like,
sorry.
I'm sure you've had more people on here with more, you know, bad crimes.
Don't be so sure.
I'm not saying it's not like the thin end of the wedge of that, but the feeling of being messed with is the same, and it's not nice.
Also, I love the idea that you're like, they're trying to kill you, and the way they do that is poison your sandwich and go, well, I took a bite, so it's fine.
This is true. This is why I don't watch TikTok, kids, because it literally makes your mind go crazy. You think that people are trying to mess with your sandwich, and like you said, cut off your head. So probably not the best thing to do. But I've always been a bit like that.
Yeah.
The first bit of fan mail that I ever got, right? This is actually something else. I actually accidentally caught a criminal once.
Go on.
Yeah, and this is what led to my worrying about my first bit of fan mail.
Okay.
But I was in Romford. Mm. Lovely old Romford.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a guy in Topshop. So you can tell this was a long time ago. He was nicking stuff off the rails. And he was the tallest criminal I'd ever seen. Like, you could spot him a mile off. Yeah, you'd expect them to be very small and nimble, but you could just see his head popping up from the rail. Wow. So you could tell that he was stealing stuff. He must have been like a career criminal. So he bolts for the door.
Wow.
All the police run in. The police were in Romford. I don't know why they were there, but they were probably on the hunt for him.
Wow.
And he runs into the next shop. So I then run out with my friends because we got nothing to do. We're bored. Let's watch the drama. So we was about 14 at the time. So we run out and then they'd lost him. And then I accidentally showed where he was to the police. He popped his head up and I went, oh, there he is. And they literally run in.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you've ever seen like the Bart Simpson Sideshow Bob thing where he's like criminals trying to kill him. I couldn't go back to Romford. I'd made it into this big thing that he was going to find out. Yeah, snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to find out who I was. And my first ever bit of fan mail was from Broadstairs, but I got it mixed up with Broadmoor. You know, the prison?
Yeah.
So I was like, it's him. He's finally found me.
Oh, my God.
That is amazing.
That's brilliant.
Broadstairs and Broadmoor is such a good mix-up.
I hid it under my bed for weeks. And then I took it down to my mum. I was on the verge of tears. I was like, mum, it's from a prison. Like, I had, like, images of my face up around this guy's prison.
Yeah, Alan, the Bart Simpson episode.
Yeah.
That's so good that I have to explain it to any listeners. I'm sorry, that's beautiful. Because Broadmoor is basically a prison, but it's like a psychiatric prison.
It's quite high security.
It's high security, yes. Yeah. Notorious in the UK. And Broadstairs is a seaside town.
And it's lovely.
It's really nice. I mean, I'm sure there's some fucking nutters live there. You know.
Is so good. Yeah. That's so good.
Broadstairs. An overactive imagination as a kid that kind of shows you when someone bit my sandwich, my brain went to the most extreme cases. Sure.
I genuinely, I totally get why. Because like when something feels off, we're like, that's where your brain starts, you know, your troubleshooting, like we're pattern finders. So it is like when something happens, it's even a bit off. That is where our brains go.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
I eventually did send a signed picture back after my mum told me it was safe. It wasn't, in fact, a prison. A year later, probably, I opened it up and sent it back.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know.
It's so appropriate that we can hear like sirens in the background too.
He's here. Sandwich eater.
London provides. Ask and London shall provide.
Yeah, we always ask, what would you say to the perpetrator now? What would you say to this sandwich wanker?
I'd say there was a Pret downstairs.
Yes.
Literally goes to Pret.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You're on about 50, 60 grand a year.
Yes.
Don't need to eat my sandwich.
Yes.
I do a lovely cheese and ham.
Yeah.
I do like the Pret cheese and ham. Second to none.
But also, HR should have bought you a Pret as well to make up for it.
They probably should have.
So just
double trouble.
Any HR people listening, please fix that in your policies.
Yeah. It's so funny. Obviously, we can hear those sirens in the background. That to me is like a lullaby because I grew up to that every night when I lived in East London. It used to send me to sleep. And now I live in Epping, which is very countryfied.
Okay. Oh, it's very leafy, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm in Midsummer Murders. It just feels like...
Is that just because you think everyone's going
to
murder you?
Probably. Maybe I have something that I need to talk to my therapist about. But yeah, that was a nice walk down memory lane, those sirens. So I don't mind them.
This is a fascinating thing, though, because a lot of people that grew up in an urban environment find rural stuff terrifying.
Yeah? Weird. Country lanes. What the hell?
I grew up in the country and like spent my time in the woods, so I remember like when Blair Witch Project came out, I'm like, guys, calm the fuck down. Like, cause to me I was just like, that's just a Saturday.
I still can't walk in the woods by myself.
Oh my goodness. Which I mean, it should freak people out, but it just love that
the rustling of the trees
that is like raindrop meditation.
Concrete. Love it. Concrete, brick walls.
Hopefully there'll be a fight outside later. It'll be great.
Oh, it'll feel like I'm just back at home.
She'll nod right off.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Wow. On that bombshell.
Great stuff.
Are we ready to do some true crime?
Oh, yes. Crack the knuckles.
Oh, no. My mind is going to go somewhere, I know. I know it will.
No, it's good. It's good. Whatever comes up.
You're probably going to crack this, actually.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
That's why we hired you.
We need leaps of imagination.
I haven't done very well with a sandwich person, though, have I?
Well, we've sent a memo to HR, so...
Yeah, our HR department is a matter.
Thanks for your help.
Really? Need free sandwiches. The case that we're going to be discussing...
It's a good start.
Discussing involves scandals, sensationalism in the news, censorship, and I've done a little pun here. Like all the best tennis, it ends up in court.
Nice. Wimbledon's about to start.
Yes.
Not when this goes out, but just so you know, it's
topical now.
So I'm going to start us at the point where a newspaper article is calling for something to be banned. I have two questions for you. Yeah. Question one. What is this newspaper article saying should be banned?
Okay.
And question two, what year is this?
Ooh, fun.
Oh, so it could be any time because Wimbledon... Did you say it was to do
with... Oh, it's not really to do with tennis.
Oh, it's not to do with tennis. Oh, that was the pun.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm not very good at puns.
What year? Okay.
Just jump in with anything,
well,
guys.
I mean, you can literally... they're still banning things right now, aren't they? Like, they'll ban...
Sure.
E-cigarettes, disposable e-cigarettes, that's the newest thing they want to ban, which is probably a good thing, I don't know. I'm thinking the 1980s, and I think they want to ban something to do with something women can do.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I feel. And you said censorship, so I feel like they want to ban women being able to pose naked somewhere.
Okay, maybe. Lovely. When you said 80s, I thought you were going to go rock music, but love it.
No, I've gone titties.
I was thinking of mini skirts for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's 1959.
Lovely.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to go for...
Go on, Lisa.
Should we go for the 90s?
90s?
Why not?
They were trying to ban the Spice Girls? If they were, I would have had the right hump. They might have, though.
There would have been people that would have.
The Spice Girls moulded me. I think I'm a bit Jerry. I'm a bit scary. I'm definitely not sporty, but I can work on that. But yeah, because they were very much girl power, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose they might have done something that they wanted to ban, potentially.
Yeah.
Yes.
Making too much money. Yeah. Well, none of you have got it, I'm afraid. The article is saying that a book should be banned, a specific book, which we'll be talking about.
Okay.
And the year...
Was it the Spice Girl Annual?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that.
The year is 1928.
Oh, okay.
A book in 1928.
Yeah, they want to ban a specific book in 1928.
Ooh. Victorian Spice.
I wonder what she was like.
Oh, God. She's...
Oh, my God.
A right minx, she sounds like.
Showed her ankles a couple of times at the MTV Awards.
I'll tell you what I want. Vitamin C.
Oh, man.
Okay, a book, 1928.
Yeah. So
I'm not great on my literature from the 20s, but let's go.
Are we asking what book it was, or are we?
No, you don't have to guess the book.
Oh, good.
I'll be telling you about that. But I'm just going to give you a little bit of info about the 1920s. A lot of censorship in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. The Obscene Publications Act of 1857 is still in effect. So courts have the power to declare publications obscene, they get destroyed. And Lord Chamberlain's office could censor plays, and films could be banned by the British Board of Films. Fun fact, it was only things that were written that got censored and stuff. Uh-huh. So silent comedy, anything in music halls, like Charlie Chaplin, none of that is censored.
Oh.
So we've got Charlie Chaplin in the background honing his physical comedy.
Oh, I wish there was more silent porn. I just find that so much more... I suppose I could mute it. Okay, that gave me an idea.
But it's just scripts that are...
I don't watch porn.
Comedy is kind of off the radar.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Loophole. Did you say 1857?
Is the Obscene Publications Act.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what inspired that. Like, something must have happened in 1856.
I think it was all the scandals happened at the end of the Victorian era.
Okay.
That is for another case.
Or the beginning, you mean the beginning of the Victorian era? Yeah.
1850s.
Yeah, because she went right into 1900.
Oh, yeah.
Why do I even know that? And it's literally just this podcast. I've learned nothing in school and everything on this podcast. Thank you, Drunk Women.
I'm not going to ask you to name the book. I'm going to ask you to guess the subject matter of it.
Ooh.
Titties.
Okay.
She's lovely. Sticking with titties. Mm. Mini skirts.
Mini skirts.
No. Spice skirts.
I'm going to go relationships.
Ooh.
Okay. Spicy, yes. Relationship.
That is a great answer. Mm. You get the point. Mm. It is close. It's not quite right. It's the closest. This book is about lesbianism.
Okay.
That's kind of where I was actually going through it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I hate people that do that. Do you know when they get the answer right? I was just that person.
That's what I meant.
That's exactly what I was going to say, but I didn't say it. I hate
guess
that I did
that. Guess
who
just did that with 1901? And that's why we're soulmates.
So the main stuff that gets banned is sex stuff and politics.
Right.
But everything's political, goddammit. So some other stuff that got banned. James Joyce's Ulysses got banned.
Oh.
Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence got banned.
Yes. Have you ever read that?
I haven't read it. I've certainly wanked to it. Two very different things. I just love gardening. It's like, oh.
I've got to stop laughing so loud. I'm sorry.
Have you read it, though?
Yes. And I was surprised how racy it is for the time, you know, because I went in with very low expectations.
Yeah.
Silent porn.
With all the porn that you've...
Me and my porn.
So they banned films. There was this crime film called Cocaine that came out in 1922. That got banned.
Love
that's
that.
Pretty on there the was, nose.
What's that about? There was a Bolshevist movie that got... They were terrified of Russia. So different to how we live today.
Mm.
This is literally day one of the culture wars. At this time in the UK, homosexuality for men is illegal. Question, is it illegal for women?
Oh, that's a good question.
I've never considered that it didn't cover... Oh.
I would assume it was.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've seen a film, and I can't remember the film, but they were secret about their relationship.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if they were secret because obviously they didn't want people to know at the time, or if it was illegal. Like, or maybe it wasn't, and that's why the ban came in.
So you're going with it... Wait.
I'm trying to read your reaction.
I love that. Give an answer that says both yes and no.
I massively sit on the fence on these
things. All right, on the fence. Do you guys think it was legal for women or illegal for women?
I mean, it's crazy that I don't know, because I think for men it was illegal until, like, what was it, the 70s or 80s or something? It's crazy.
60s, but then the age changed.
I'm sorry, like, I'm talking about the Isle of Wight here again. It's legal until 2022.
I mean, it'd be the weirdest inequality we've covered on this podcast if it's not. But the fact you're asking, I think maybe it wasn't.
Okay, I can now reveal it was not illegal at this time, but now we have some fun, interesting information.
Okay.
So, is it
just because men found it titillating? They're like, well, we can't ban that.
It's mainly for suppression. So basically, in 1921, there had been a parliamentary debate about whether to criminalise it and introduce a new criminal offence that they were going to call gross indecency between women. And there's this one Tory MP, and he does this massive speech. He's like, look, we have three options. Do you guys want to guess what he suggested the three options were for how they deal with this issue?
Oh my God. I love that as well, that there are only three options for this issue that I have no fucking right to say anything about.
Yes.
Because I'm assuming he's a man.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I guess he says we either criminalise it completely. Oh, I don't know, do a don't ask, don't tell, like, okay, army type thing. Yeah. Or we just let women live their best lives and have some good sex.
Love your answer. Anyone got anything to add?
We send them all to an island. I'm picturing him saying something, ridiculous like that.
Okay, cool.
Did they threaten them? Did they say, like, if you do this, this will happen sort of thing?
Lovely. Okay, do you know what? You've all actually, in a way, you're all right.
But God, I wish school had been like that. You know what, guys? You all pass.
Hannah is just a little bit closer.
Because I said so many things.
And then Lisa. Well, okay, look, I'll tell you. So he said the three options of what to do. Option number one, death sentence.
Oh, my God.
Option number two, lunatic asylum.
Oh, shit. It was options for fucking punishments. Of course, it was.
I didn't make that clear.
No, but that's really interesting that I didn't think it would be that. I thought there was a chance.
That's
that
where
one
my mind went, and I thought, would they parade them around the street?
Yeah.
I'm doing it again. Like, I thought, would they parade them around the street and shave their heads? Like, I thought, I think I've seen that movie as well somewhere.
Tell you what, when you lead with death penalty,
you've got some issues.
You haven't heard option number
three.
There's
nowhere to go from there.
Option three is leave them entirely alone and pretend not to notice them.
Oh, I love that.
Was that actually option three?
Yes.
Oh,
and
okay.
He suggests there's a drastic difference between option number three and the first two. And he suggested that they should do option three because basically, if you legislate against something, it involves a debate. And they didn't want to give it the oxygen of publicity and have everyone go, that sounds awesome. Which is basically like admitting they know that there is a way of closing the orgasm gap. They just, you know, we've legislated against love enough. We just won't tell anyone.
Turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Except for men.
Yes.
Because that's just wrong.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah. Okay, so now we have a book that breaks the conspiracy of silence. Mm. Now, this book is called The Well of Loneliness, and it's by Radcliffe Hall. And it's about this female protagonist called Stephen Gordon, and she's always been attracted to women, and she falls in love. Yeah, it's way famous.
Yeah, it's way famous.
Clueless. Ooh, Snickers. But she falls in love with this woman called Mary Llewellyn, and they meet serving as ambulance drivers during the First World War.
That's hot.
It is.
They can drive.
And she doesn't say the word gay or queer. In the 1920s, they used this term female sexual inversion. I don't know either.
FSI, the new series, Channel 4.
So now the early reviews of the book were actually very positive. The Daily Herald called it profound and moving. Critic for Country Life wrote, there's absolutely nothing in it to offend anyone except those I will call human ostriches. So we've got some progressive...
I heard ostriches, like, as in, like... Oh, did you say ostriches?
Yeah.
I did. Oh! I thought it was a book. But like an ostrich. Oh,
the implication is that you'd have to be like a real caveman to have a problem with this book.
I love that that's coming from Country Life, the progressive magazine.
I know.
The 1920s.
We've got to write this in a way our audience will understand. Let's make sure we've got an animal in there.
Yeah.
And it's
on brand, yeah.
Yeah.
So everything's going great for 1 month. Question, what happened?
Everything's going great for 1 month.
What happened?
What started to derail the book being received well?
Did the person who makes decisions in Parliament, did his wife decide that she didn't want to be with him anymore?
Oh,
because she'd read that book and realised she was a lesbian.
That's a great answer.
And he decided to get very angry about it and try and shut the book down.
That is fantastic.
That's a good answer.
Motive. That is great.
This time it's personal.
But it didn't happen.
I've got to let everybody answer.
Again, it feels like that thing because there's always, with any sort of...
For the listeners who can't see this, we have a champagne bottle here. Is it a champagne bottle?
Well, it's Carver, but sure, who's counting?
We're praying to the skies at the moment with the champagne bottle.
Oh.
Hoping an answer comes down.
Is it helping, Taylor?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Very much. What happened? Somebody important got offended by it. Like, somebody notable read it and said, no, you are all turning a blind eye to something filthy. Mm. So who would that have been in the 1920s? Queen Victoria's dead. Who came after her? George? Did King George read it?
Okay.
Wait, was it George?
Okay, so we've got...
Somebody tell me, was it
someone
George?
High up and so prudish?
Well, I was just thinking that sometimes with controversy like this is that one person gets offended and then nobody else actually reads the book. They just jump on this bandwagon of kind of like, oh, this is offensive to us.
It's like when people tweet and they just share the headline of an article and everybody's like, that's outrageous. Yeah. And nobody reads.
Just clickbait. Yes.
I've started doing that now. I've started just, rather than sort of making any points, I say, oh God, I read a headline the other day. Like, I never say that I've actually read the article because I never have. I'm just like, and someone's like, oh, that's interesting. What happened? I don't know. I've literally read the article.
Imagine if I'd read it.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened there?
Do you remember when Twitter started doing a thing that it's like, and I thought it was actually quite good, when you retweet something, it says, it looks like you haven't actually read this article, clicked the link. Are you sure you want to share?
Oh, wow. That's probably the first thing Elon took away.
Pre-Elon, yeah.
There's no safeguarding.
And sometimes I was like, huh, that's really interesting.
You caught me. But also, stop watching me.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Creepy.
I bet all the trolls love that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, they probably don't care, do they? They just click it anyway.
Okay, so actually, again, everyone is kind of right now.
Yay!
To be fair, we don't know about the motive.
Yeah.
And I bet something like that must have happened to this guy. This guy is a fucking nut job bastard guy. So there's this journalist called James Douglas, mm-hmm. and he describes himself as a dedicated moralist.
Ooh.
Yes, ooh, and an exponent.
Himself.
Yes. Well, he uses the phrase exponent of muscular Christianity.
Muscular Christianity?
I know, it's so ick.
I thought we were turned on. Okay. Sorry.
That does sound like a porn show. I'm not
it does. It does.
Tune into channel 42, muscular.
Actually, that is somebody's good time. Now, he lives for moral outrage.
It might be mine. Picturing this muscular big guy, but yeah, you're gonna put me off. Go and tell me what
you're doing. Jesus, how many sets are you doing?
Oh my God, yeah.
Do you want to sub in?
Drunk women solving crime.
There were two Americans on vacation in Paris.
Wow, Sarah. Look at these cute little bugs in the bed. They're adorable. Oh my goodness, Melissa, and they're homeless. Well, I mean, I think they live in the bed. That's no place to live. They deserve more.
This Halloween, come witness the creepy, crawly fright that takes over the world when two well-meaning women adopt bedbugs from Paris.
How many of these can we fit in our suitcase, Sarah? Does it say on the customs form? No, we can't tell anybody we're adopting them. Well then, I don't know, I guess a few thousand? Excellent.
In a world where bedbug adoption equals exponential growth of bedbugs.
I'm so glad we have a stopover in London before we get back to New York. We can let some of them free there. I'm sure other people will snap them right up. Aw, you just wait, little guys. You're gonna have such a good life.
Bedbugs, in cinemas October 25th, starring Natalia O'Connor as Sarah and Angela Jenkins as Melissa. Bedbugs, don't let them bite.
If you'd like a creative shout-out and some other benefits like ad-free listening and extra content, all sorts of goodies, head over to patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
He's basically like a sort of a 1920s cross between Richard Littlejohn and Piers Morgan. He's like a fucking stirrer. And
I saw a guy the other day on the tube reading the Richard Littlejohn book, one of Richard Littlejohn's book, and I'm almost 99% sure it was Richard Littlejohn.
He's got the gift of looking like all of his fans.
I'm going to sound very stupid, but I don't know who that is. And when you mentioned it, I thought you meant Littlejohn from Robin Hood. You know, Robin Hood and Littlejohn riding through the forest.
That would have been much better.
Oh, nothing is stupid.
Educate me. Educate. Or maybe your listeners already know.
No. It's always good to ask questions. So he is a journalist in the vein of Piers Morgan or Jeremy Clarkson. And he his catchphrase, you can't make it up. Or is that someone else? I think that's Richard Littlejohn, isn't it? You couldn't make it up. He's always cross about something.
It's in the Daily Mail, most.
He's been around now, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't read the Daily Mail.
No, good. Oh,
that's a really good point.
Nor should you.
Yeah.
He wrote other articles, obviously, like slagging women's rights and voting rights off. He called it the flapper vote. He was very rude about everybody. He wants everyone.
So muscular.
He's so muscular, and he wants everybody back in their boxes. So he's basically a cunt. He's very gender normative, and he is starting culture wars. He goes nuts about this book. He can't believe it. And his article makes the front page of the Sunday Express in August 1928. He uses very sensational language. He calls the book moral poison and that it has to be withdrawn and everyone's made a huge mistake. Now, at this time in history, everyone is really terrified of poison because it's like a massacre. But people keep getting killed. So for him to use the word poison makes everyone really scared of this book.
Yeah.
So wow.
Funny. I know.
People are stupid, aren't they?
Like, yeah, it's mad. So,
I suppose I'll stop eating this book now.
Yeah. And there were all these laws being debated about poisons at the time. Like, do we need more laws about poisons? Big deal. So, like, basically, he's hijacking that to his own ends.
Funny.
He's using really emotive language to ruin everyone's day.
It was the clickbait of its day.
Yes. Mm. And he gets the Lord's attention.
The Lord?
The House of Lords. Like,
the Lord.
Basically,
the
everyone Lords. Is now suddenly all eyes on this book.
Sorry, I was stuck on Jesus, like, lifting. And then I was like, the Lord is spotting him. You can do a whole thing. The Holy Ghost is in the shower. Sorry.
And now they're all together.
Sorry, guys.
Radcliffe Hall had never intended for any of this drama. She really was very, very earnest and very serious, not trying to, she wanted to be sympathetic and not scandalous. She'd written to her publisher in April 1928 and said, I have put my pen to some of the most persecuted and misunderstood people in the world. As far as I know, nothing of the kind has ever been attempted before. Mm. And her publisher, Jonathan Cape, were very serious about it too. So I was going to ask you guys if you can guess any of the ways that this book had tried to portray itself so that it would be taken seriously, and just any kind of marketing or what might they have done to have tried to make it look serious and not like a quick laugh in a
was it the cover or was it like lesbians in suits?
yeah
ties.
That is one of the things on this list.
The cover art.
Yeah, very plain black dust jacket.
Okay. Well, the world was black and white back then.
Was she a famous author back then? Or did they change her name to look more masculine?
So she was a new-ish author. She'd done... I don't know if she'd done one other book or she'd certainly done other writing, but this was like a big breakthrough for her to have this book.
Did they have camera? Like, did they put a picture of her on the back? Or was that not a thing back then?
I don't know.
Because they might have made her look very serious.
Yeah. They did have photography, but I don't
that
know
makes
if
everything
they would
serious,
have done.
A pipe. I wish I had a pipe now. I feel like I could have got more into, you know, solving the crime with a pipe.
Yeah. That's the noise you make, right?
But you're absolutely along the right track.
Did they refuse for it to be in Richard and Judy's book club?
Give it to you because basically it's all of these things. Like, it was 15 shillings, which was twice the cost of the average novel.
So they made it pricey.
It's not organic. Yeah, it's not for sensation seekers. They did a very small print run to start, just 1500 copies.
Okay.
The plain jacket. They sent it only to very serious newspapers to review it.
Horse and Country.
Yeah, right. Very serious. They get this scientific guy to do the foreword. So it's like endorsed by scientists.
Okay.
But this guy's title was like sexologist, but he was the leading person in his field. Because people were doing like scientific studies on all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, like documenting people and going about and finding out what's happening. So anyway, it's not going to be a sensational story. So it'd be like, it would be Hatchards. You wouldn't manage to find it in a supermarket kind
sure.
of thing if it was today. And no sexually explicit material featured. The raciest lines in the book were, she kissed her full on the lips as a lover, and that night they were not divided.
Oh,
that is. I think that's so lovely.
Yeah.
That's nice, actually.
Yeah, turns me on.
Did you guys did you guys not divide last night?
I totally. Conquered, man.
All right.
It's like 50 shades of hinting and poignancy.
Oh my God, would read.
Oh yes, please, something subtle.
Do you want to? Well, I don't, yeah, right, okay.
He tied me up with his wry wit.
So, enter the lawyers. The Home Secretary's involved, Jonathan Cape. Jonathan Cape, the publisher.
Jonathan Cape.
They seek a legal like option. And the Home Secretary demands that they withdraw the book. Question, do Jonathan Cape withdraw the book?
No. Okay, they sound like badasses. They've backed her till now. They're not going to back down now.
Also, I feel
although
like,
legal.
I feel like for some reason I've heard of Jonathan Cape. I feel like it might be a really big publisher.
Yeah.
It might not be. But I feel somewhere that I've heard that name. And I feel like if I've heard it today, and I've heard it, that they might actually be really big.
Right.
And this might be their kind of...
They might be doing damage control.
Yeah.
Well, no, but what I mean is I think that they did right by her and actually...
And they were rewarded.
They were rewarded with me knowing about them. Watch as they were shut down in 1929. I've never heard of them and I just dated a guy called Richard Cape at some point.
You're just thinking of cake. You're just stuck on cake. Oh, I know cake.
Yeah.
I've heard of cake. I've had cake.
I had cake like 20 minutes ago.
We were here. Where was the cake?
Katie offered it round.
Oh, was that cake?
Half of
I've got
there.
Half a mini bit if you
want it. No, I ate it and just melty. Didn't think about what it was. I was like, sugar. It's cake. Okay,
yeah,
great.
You had some and you didn't.
It's a right. Swiss roll covered in chocolate.
Okay. Is that cake?
It's Jonathan cake.
Is it cake?
Even better with custard, but it's a hot dough, but they are delicious.
We'll be trying.
Melty, yeah. I'll put custard on anything.
I love custard.
I can eat custard right out of the...
Oh, yeah. Custard's good.
Anyway, that's a whole other... That's okay. My illicit book.
I love that we've turned this into custard. It's kind of like big controversial case of like, what's everyone's opinion on custard? Yeah. I don't like
the
it.
Case. Back to the case. I think that they sound very intelligent, this company.
Yeah.
And I feel like they know how to make moves. And I feel like if they were to withdraw it, they'll have another thing up their sleeve. But if I was on their team, I think it's great press, you know, people want what they can't have, right?
Yeah.
So if the idea of that it was going to get taken back, I would then hike the prices up. I'm going to say they didn't withdraw it.
But
the press did really, really well with it.
Yeah, because I think that's a really good point that actually, like, no publicity is bad publicity. And
they
like,
double divided, non divided.
You know what? I'm giving it to Lisa.
Ah.
They appeared to give in to the demand, but they had a secret, sneaky plan.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like these.
Yeah,
they're cool.
Yeah. So they wrote this letter to the press, like saying, oh, sorry, yeah, whoops, sorry about that. You know, we want to comply with the Home Office, so we're withdrawing the book from publication.
They sound like every agent that I know. Like, it literally just sounds like this could happen today.
No, so much, so little actually changes. It's terrifying.
It's nice hearing that there's always been people that fight for the arts.
Yeah.
Like, just to put it simply.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in the right.
It's that.
The right
it's that. They're
side.
A progressive. It's like, oh yeah, that's who I could have been friends with if I lived in the 1920s.
Always knock on the publisher's door. If you time travel.
Do you guys want to guess what their cunning plan is?
Oh, let me think. So what would I do?
Could they publish it overseas? Like, have they got links in Europe? Because I feel like the rest of Europe, far less fussy and uptight. France.
Fantastic answer. Would you guys like
slutty French? Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like Taylor's maybe got the right answer. If Kate is like, does anyone else want to attempt it? Because
you can try.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so shit at being subtle. I was like, I was in a pub the other day because I'm so cool. So the people that I was with were like talking about somebody on the other side of the bar, and I was like, oh, who? And I like went to like look. And then they were like, oh, that was really subtle, Katie. And what I'd done without realizing it was like turned my head like so elaborately to look around. And they were pissing themselves laughing at me. And then I tried to pretend that it was because of the pandemic. I haven't like worked out how to be subtle. It wasn't the pandemic. I've never been very
don't
good.
Don't look at now. What?
Don't look at me. That's not how I live. It's oh, I'm still getting over the pandemic.
You need to get your mirror out.
Yes.
Yeah, you do a little
that is look. Better.
Yeah.
See, I'm getting so many top tips. Custard on a Swiss roll and a mirror when I want to look at people in a pub.
I mean, it sounds a bit creepy together, but you know, individually it can work.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh my gosh, your book will be called Custard and Mirrors. How good
Why
is that?
Why does that sound like an episode of Black Mirror and I love it? Like, I feel like that can... Yeah, I'm going to take it. Thanks.
Yes. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Taylor is exactly right.
Yeah, well done.
And it's even France.
I know my sluts.
They only have to stop printing in the UK. It's still fine for France and the USA. So they just start shipping back the Paris edition.
The US
edition.
Is okay with it.
Yes.
Which just goes to show things have ebb and flow.
Okay. Wow. I mean, it's probably not everywhere in the US.
Wow.
But it is there. Huh. So they start shipping back the Paris edition of The Well of Loneliness to the UK. Fun fact for you, there is a huge big gay subculture scene in Paris because male homosexuality was not illegal there at this time. So there's all these cafes, there's a whole thing. And now we have my favourite thing about this case happening, because this is not a happy case, but basically you've got boxes of books being seized at Dover in the manner that you would for cocaine.
Wow.
Because it's a banned book. So there's this one consignment of 250 copies of the book gets stopped at Dover. Mm. And like basically all of the people working there are like snitches because they're like, you know,
kickbacks.
Yeah. And then so the customers exiles guys are like really dubbing people in to the Home Office. This one big consignment that made all the papers, Evelyn Waugh satirized in his book Vile Bodies that they were doing that. But it's this that finally leads to the court case.
I don't know what that is.
That makes two of us.
I don't know what that is. What is that, please?
What, the book Vile Bodies?
Yeah.
It's just a book by Evelyn Waugh.
Uh-huh. We need to read some books.
He wrote
I read Judy Blume.
He wrote Scoop and Brideshead Revisited.
Oh,
and
he
satirized all of the stuff.
Okay.
I've
read every Stephen King book.
I've read every Harry Potter book. Just saying. If we're putting it out there.
So we've got this court case. We've got the Home Secretary, William Johnson Hicks, wants to restore morality. He is livid that Jonathan Cape are dicking them around. But this court case is such a fix, like, they're not letting anyone in. But then you've got, like, they're really, like...
And is it the court case for the books coming back?
Is it the fight to make it legal again in the UK?
Great questions, guys. I think it is because they didn't actually have to do anything because they just said this is immoral and they went, oh yeah, we'll stop publishing it, but then secretly didn't. Okay. So now this is like, well, now we have to officially ban it. We just asked you nicely to shut it down, but now we're going to do some legal work so that you have to.
Right.
They just really hobbled the defence basically and she wasn't allowed to do stuff. But then the literary Illuminati at the time wanted to help back her and defend her. So I was going to ask you if you wanted to name any of those, basically name authors who were around in the 1920s.
That could have been in the literary Illuminati.
Well, no, they're just basically other, yeah, like the big hitters that were.
Fitzgerald.
I guess, do you know what? Those are Americans, aren't they?
That's all I know.
They are not on my list.
I don't, I'm so bad with time frames, like with the Brontes around.
No.
That was way before, wasn't it? Oh, God, before 1920.
Right. That's cool. People were still reading them.
Exactly. Dickens, then.
No, okay.
A bit like the Dickens.
They've
got me around in person.
Like, thanks for giving us so much credit.
Yeah.
We could answer that.
Thank God you're going to skip me. It's reminding me of an episode of Pointless, and like, I'm going to get 100 and get kicked off. I have zero answers.
Also, genuinely, I'm going to say, you're all going to be like, oh, yeah. Like, so it's H.G. Wells, George Bernard Shaw, T.S. Eliot, E.M. Forster, and Virginia Woolf.
Oh. Yeah, I just would never think. Yeah.
Oh, I love that they stuck up for her.
Yeah, it's like this real
it's cool.
roll call. And like,
oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's another show to be made. That sounds like a good BBC drama.
The Literary Illuminati.
The Literary Illuminati.
Well, not that because I can't say it. I'd call it books.
Oh, yeah. love it. Works.
To the point.
Yes. So it works.
Another
people love single titles.
Words.
Real quick fun fact, Virginia Woolf had just released her book Orlando, which, if you don't know, is about, at this time, the revolutionary ideas of gender fluidity and sexuality.
Mm-hmm. A set at Orlando Disney World.
Yeah. There's a whale in it. But
the rides are all an analogy for the...
Yeah, but hers is not in trouble because she is posh and very high. And, okay. Although they were trying to be very serious with Radcliffe Hall's book, she's still middle ground. Ugh. And of course, we're not only dealing with sexism and homophobia, it's Britain, we're dealing with the class system. Yeah. As well.
Yeah, and I assumed all this time she was pretty posh to even get as far as she did. No, but she wasn't like
up there, but she's not like considered literary.
Well, and Virginia Woolf had a reputation by that time. This person does not have any...
Yes.
Legs to stand on.
Exactly. She doesn't have as high a standing. Yeah. And that also the establishment are trying to protect the lower orders from sexual knowledge. Like, it's fine if, like, aristocrats are fucking each other, but not ambulance drivers. In 1928, the magistrate delivers his verdict. Question, is the book found to be obscene and needs to be destroyed or not?
Yes, it is. Because you said it was a sad case.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was saying. I was like, I think you revealed that a little earlier.
I've not been very subtle today.
I'm a hopeful optimist.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that her agents or whoever these publishing people would have a sneaky plan, another sneaky plan.
I love your optimism and I'm so sorry cannot reward it on this occasion. They had to pay court costs, they had to destroy the book. And it was a huge blow for Radcliffe Hall and her career. So she had really wanted to make a change. She's obviously gay too, and she was trying to, you know, raise awareness and empathy. So it was a big blow for her and her career. But she got thousands and thousands and thousands of letters of support from readers that loved the book and said that it really meant so much to them. Mm. From all over. Like
from Broadstairs.
Yeah, from Broadstairs.
Shit. Oh, boy.
Was Broadmoor around at that time?
Dear God. And also, obviously, all of this attention brought way more attention than it would have done if they hadn't bothered prosecuting in the first place. So the case is notorious for that.
Oh, publicity is good publicity.
I have a question for you. How long before the UK would let The Well of Loneliness be published legally again?
Oh, wow.
So you can either tell me how many years you think it was banned for or what year that you think they reinstated it.
I'm going to think it was a very long time.
Uh-huh.
I reckon they moved on with it very quickly. On to the next thing. I'm going to say 70 years later.
Okay, lovely. Mm.
Well, let me say 72 and a half years.
Okay.
Just to make my odds a bit.
What if we were spot on with it? Exactly.
Oh my God, I'm reincarnated, I was her. I'd probably start thinking that.
It's me, it's my Cliff.
The 1960s.
1960s, yeah. Excellent.
I don't know, I reckon like just 10 years later, there was a change of the guard and, of the people that were prosecuted. And they thought, well, let's do it again. Because actually, I think all publicity is good publicity. But if you've gone viral, you need to do so. You need to hit something else in the next week.
Yeah. What's your second tweet going to be?
Yeah, what's that difficult second TikTok? Like, you know, you've got to do it. So I feel like they might have bought that, appealed it quite quickly. And it just takes some... different person, man at the
helm. Would be lovely if it was as quick as like any production company being like, oh, we'll bring that back.
Exactly.
I was just thinking so much other shit went down. We're talking about the war.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I don't know what publishing was like during the war. I'm guessing it was a little sparse.
I would imagine then,
they probably only published newspapers.
And then everybody pretended that nobody had sex during the 50s.
Well, Taylor, you were the closest with 60s. It was 1959 that the ban got lifted, but she died in 1943, so she didn't live to see it.
That's really sad, but I would like to point out that I did say 1959 earlier for the miniskirt. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So it's like I knew what was coming.
That's not how answers and questions work, Taylor. You can't just I said it, but for something else.
I was cyclically
linked. I'd literally be the most intelligent person in the world if that was, the case.
I actually said that word last year. So.
Yeah, that checks out.
I actually said Virginia Woolf a while ago. I know it sounded like I said Charles Dickens, 1920s. Oh, what's wrong with me?
So today, the Well of Lonely... Ooh,
really?
This is the noisiest my street has ever been.
What's so, yeah, what's funny is it's like a farce. It's like, no, like that's a cab that just has squeaky wheels. It's like every comedic noise that can happen.
So that's what London cabs sound like now if you're recording a podcast.
Where to, girls?
And I'm an old lady, an old cockney lady, aren't I?
I've just been a squeaky texture. Should we talk about custard again?
Yeah.
Oh, do you like it thick or thin?
Oh, I'm a medium girl. Not too thin, not too thick.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
If I had to choose, it would be thick. Okay. But I would prefer medium.
Stuck in the throat.
But rather than thin, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
those were the only options.
I mean, I don't like it. But
thin is the worst. It goes medium, thick, thin.
We're still talking about custard, right?
Yeah. Maybe your sex tape.
Some
maybe my sex tape. We're still talking about custard. Is the name of my sex tape.
Oh my god, that's I'd watch that. I mean, not that I want to watch your sex tape, but what I mean is just
oh yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Whoa, lovely. Yeah.
Or just have some custard.
I don't like custard.
Oh, that's right. Or jam.
No.
Aww. Wow.
Are you a rice pudding gal?
No, don't like it. God, don't trust the consistency. Yeah.
Custardy.
Yeah. I like a risotto. Huh.
Interesting. So you like savory, creamy stuff.
Yeah. What would a savory custard be? Like a kind of the thing you put on Eggs Benedict?
Yes. Hollandaise.
Yeah. Hollandaise.
A hollandaise is a savory custard.
There you go.
You guys.
All right.
As much as I am genuinely.
Katie, is this not where you wanted this to go?
I wouldn't be doing my job if I just let us continue discussing which sources.
You tried to say something poignant, like she didn't live to see the time. I was right. I said that year.
Do you know what? I don't like jam, but I would eat a cranberry sauce on a turkey. So just to round out that section.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
I will just quickly tell you guys. The Well of Loneliness is widely considered a key lesbian text, but it also gets a lot of criticism. Surprise, today it's considered problematic because the main character has lots of shame and self-hatred that, you know, doesn't need to be
there. I mean, the title's a bit bleak.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't it?
And also, there is a quote about it.
I wouldn't watch that sex tape. No. Well of Loneliness.
There is a quote. The reputation of the book is that it's the most depressing lesbian novel ever written.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it is a bit bleak. But let's raise a glass to Radcliffe Hall.
Yay! Drunk women solving crime.
We have a listener crime, and they say, I live down a little mews in South London that is lined with lots of garages in a dodgy area. We've been used to drug dealing.
Are there dodgy mews?
Yeah, a mews sounds lovely.
Can I just throw that out?
It does sound lovely, but it is not lovely on this occasion.
All right.
Drug dealing, odd behaviour along the road, but that's part of London life. However, the dodgy behaviour has taken a turn. I just burped.
Dodgy indeed.
For extra emphasis.
I really said that's quite fizzy. Anyway, one evening I was outside with our dog, teaching her to pee outside. So imagine my shock when I told her to go to the toilet and I heard a strong stream of pissing. It wasn't her, but a random man peeing in the walkway to our flat, arm's length from me, stunned. A lone woman in the dark. I just walked back inside. But when it happened multiple times, I threw my partner out to shout at them. The defence, at least, we aren't talking a shit like people do further down the street. Yeah, I've lived on a street where people do that before. Help solve this crime as it really is pissing me off, pun intended.
You need to treat him like a cat, right?
Ooh, get the hose out and spray it.
Yeah, because once they knock, they think that's where they've got to go again, right?
Yeah.
And if it stinks of piss.
Drunk men.
Like, that's where all the little piss, right? So you need to maybe a bit of Febreze.
Yes.
Maybe
that
a bit
is
of, you know,
a brilliant answer.
Spray it down a bit.
Yeah, start playing classical music, make it really fancy, get rid of anyone loitering. That is a brilliant, I love that.
There's a squirting bottle right there on our table, and I'm like,
there you go.
We should all carry those around and just squirt men when they do stuff.
That could work.
Stop it! It can't hurt.
Yeah.
You could just burst into laughter.
And they won't know if it's pepper spray. They're going to have to take that water very seriously.
What if her command to the dog was the same for the guy, though? Like, maybe.
I mean, I do feel like she's accidentally potty trained.
Good boy. Yeah. Good boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Positive reinforcement.
So it's a communal alley.
Yeah.
So it's not her alley.
But it's obviously quite near her house near her that house. She has to go to.
Yeah.
When I moved over here, I just really had to get used to people pissing in public in a way that I'd never seen.
Yeah.
Ooh. There's just a lot of public.
We're more drunk than Americans, I guess, and our police are less terrifying. I can't think why it would be that different.
This from a woman. Like, listen to what I just said and then hear this. I pissed on Fifth Avenue once. On my birthday.
You hypocrite.
Oh, my yeah. God. Well, seriously, though, because I hear myself saying these, well, it's very uncivilized. And then I picture myself squatting in front of, like, Saks Fifth because I just couldn't wait.
You should get that printed on a T-shirt.
I pissed in front of Saks Fifth.
But also what I like
that's
about...
my book, Lisa.
You're like... And then you just couldn't live in America anymore. You had to come where it was safe to piss outdoors.
Yes. Oh, she's just constantly doing it.
Yeah, just men just going.
It's too
everywhere.
Much. It stinks.
I remember there was a Frankie Boyle bit about that, that he said that he was coming home from a night out in Glasgow and he walked past a guy who was pissing in a doorway and the guy just let himself in. I mean, I guess it's a joke, but it's brilliant. Yeah, I think that's hard though, isn't it? Because sometimes if I often find that you'll walk past a particular place and it will always smell of piss because it's like you were saying, it's the place that is like, oh, this is so the like, toilet.
Yeah. I genuinely think Lisa's answer is spot on. I think that's brilliant. Get the hose out.
I'm not sure it would work though, like on a serious note. I don't
get
know
some
what you could do in
fairy
that situation.
Liquid
spray, get there be bubbles
yeah.
to start with.
You have to
pop
get
plants.
An enzymatic cleaner.
Yeah.
Put some pot plants down. I mean, if he pisses on your pot plants, that is not a good move, but...
No, although they probably is good for them. And it might not stink so much. Okay,
I guess count your blessings. If there's people shitting further down the way, you're in the good neighbourhood. Yeah. Embrace it.
Yeah, Well, I hope that helps.
I hope that helps.
Solve it.
That was from Faye. We have just enough time. Lisa Greenwood, what are you up to? Where can we find more about you? What's happening?
Well, I'm just living the good life at the moment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about it a little bit, but I went through some health issues.
Yes.
So this is basically my time to just, well, my therapist says, to grow.
You said that with such disdain. That was great.
Well, I don't know how much I can grow. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm doing it right, but I don't know. I'm just kind of enjoying life, doing a few podcasts.
Yes.
I've done a lot for Doctor Who in the past.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And I've had a chat with a few of the doctors.
Oh, who's your favourite?
Nice.
So I'm the Doctor Who assistant in the audiobooks.
Oh,
so,
cool. Brilliant.
Yeah, and my doctor is Colin Baker.
Oh.
So he would be my first interview. And Sylvester McCoy is brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah. He loves a drink. I'm doing a bit of writing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got into some comedy writing.
Brilliant.
My agent wanted me to do an advert the other day, but I'm just not there yet. It was to jump off a cliff in Greece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of money. I almost was like, someone push me off the cliff, I'll do it.
Jeez.
That's against doctor's orders at the moment.
Yeah.
Nearly done it though, girls.
Maybe when the money's good, you're like, could I?
Yeah.
For McVitie's.
But I didn't do it in the end. So yeah, it's funny because I've always worked. So I've worked since I was like 21, like acting here and there, and I've never not auditioned for so long.
Wow.
And it kind of feels refreshing.
Okay.
Yeah, like I think about going back sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, do I even want to go back to acting? Like, do I want to go behind the scenes now?
Oh, you know, interesting.
Yeah, do some TikTok merch. They're all doing that these days, aren't they? Selling sweets on TikTok, imagine that. I say that, I'll get offered an advert next week for 10 grand and you'll see me jumping off the cliff. I don't know. Yeah, trying to recover to the best I can.
Brilliant.
But I'm going in the right direction.
Oh, so,
yay.
Oh,
yay.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Hold up. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.